This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And why do we call them Vacation Planners and not travel agents? Well, it's simple. They're in the business of putting together vacations and treat every client's vacation like it was their own. If you want to know what it feels like to be treated by the best, and I mean the best professionals in the travel industry, then go visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, I'll click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
This is Anna McCoy from Villarica, Georgia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 120,000, but 120. Well, welcome to episode 120 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. This is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is, luckily, is here, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle. Glad to see you were able to make it.
Thank you, Mike. Now I know we had a discussion during Wine and Dine about how you like to catch me off guard at the intro to the show, so I'm prepared for anything. So you didn't catch me off guard today. You didn't knock me off balance.
Wait till the next show.
All right. I have a shout out, and it is kind of a two-parter. The first part is a shout out to everybody who joined us for our meetup at Seabreeze Point during the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. That was really, really fun. Really enjoyed it. It was so convenient that somebody had had a wedding rehearsal ahead of time, so we had water and chairs there. But the big shout out is to our buddies Rich and Holly, who got married the day before, found time in their schedule to come to our meetup, which was at the exact same place that they got married, and also ran the Wine and Dine Half Marathon and got their medals the night afterwards. And I got to see them as right after they crossed the finish line together. And super, super nice people. Great to meet them. And we wish them the best of luck and many years of health and happiness together.
It was their first half marathon, so that first half marathon that they finished together. So that was pretty special. And speaking of special, we have a cavalcade of stars on our show.
Did you say
cavalcade? Cavalcade, you know, cavalcade.
Yeah, this show will be interesting.
It'll be interesting. We're trying to do a recap of the 2013 Run Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend, and half marathon weekend, and we're trying to squeeze as much as we can. So we thought that we would start off the show with three individuals who you have heard on our show previously, and let me introduce them one by one. First is in alphabetical order, so that there's no
squabbling.
Well, anyway, yeah, squabbling.
there was squabbling about who I called first on the Skype call, so we know. So let's introduce Michael Miller first.
No. The M comes after G.
No. Listen to your co-host.
Okay.
That's right. So first and foremost, our very own notes maestro, Rich Gehring. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. And I guess now is as good a time as any to wish Michelle a happy early birthday, because I know that's coming up really soon, too.
I heart you, Rich. Thank you. It is on Thursday. Friday. That's Friday.
Right. Is it Friday? Friday.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Second on the show, and you've heard his golden tones already. He was on a recent show with Holly Allen. We talked about the seriousness of the Walt Disney World 2014 marathon weekend involving Dopey. He is none other than the one, the only, Michael Miller. Welcome, Michael.
I do want to technically say I was introduced first, you know, even though Rich got to talk first. I just want everyone to know that, especially Rich.
Age before beauty.
And I just realized that I think I made a mistake. I think that this next person should have been introduced before Michael Miller.
Oh my gosh. But, what
but
is
I'll,
happening?
I'll say, you know, this is not going well, folks. But, but maybe let's put it this way. I saved the best for last. And that is, we are pleased to have on our show, and he's been on before, and you've heard this name many times, and I'm sure you'll hear it many more times after the show. He is Eddie McCoy from Villarica, Georgia. Eddie, welcome.
Thanks. You definitely did save the best for last. I'm definitely better than Michael Miller.
You know, one of the things we heard at our meetup is people kept on asking us for longer shows because they take them on their runs. I think we're going to be able to do that this time for you, everybody. It's going to be a long one.
And speaking of long ones and long shows, Eddie and Michael had a very long Saturday last weekend. And it did not start in Orlando. It did not start in Florida. It started in the state of Georgia. And I'm going to let Mike and Eddie tell everyone how their day started off. So who would like to begin?
I think Eddie should.
Okay. Eddie, take it away.
Okay. All right. Here's what happened. When Wine and Dine last year was on one weekend, and Savannah Rock and Roll Marathon was on a different day. And at the expo last year, I signed up for Savannah Rock and Roll right off the bat. And then I came back and signed up for Wine and Dine again, only to realize this time they were on the same day. So, you know, so what do you do when you sign up for two races? And
you make a choice to do just one, right, Eddie?
Most people do. Except then you look at the time and go, man, it's 7 a.m. for the marathon, 5-hour drive, and a 10 p.m. start for the half. So I thought, you know, got to do both, and there's only one person I can think of dumb enough to do it with me, and that was Michael Miller. So I called up Michael and twisted his arm just a little bit to see if he'd be interested.
And what happened when he said no?
I kept asking.
Actually, I originally did say no because I was going to be doing the Dumbo, and I figured doing the Dumbo, going away, traveling away from my family and stuff like that, I couldn't do two races. But I ended up having to defer the Dumbo, and once I deferred the Dumbo, I'd actually then finally caved to Eddie's begging me to do this with him.
So essentially, you guys did the Goofy, which is a half one day and a full the next day. You did the Goofy in one day, right?
That's right. I turned it goofy in the day. So, you know, you got to be pretty goofy to want to run a marathon and a half in the same day. But that's exactly what we did.
So what was did you have a plan on how you were going to attack these two races?
our plan was survival.
Yeah. Let's just say we took the Michael Miller approach to the race, much to the chagrin of many of our friends. We really didn't even book. We weren't even going to book a hotel until we showed up at the town of Savannah, because every hotel in historic Savannah, and everyone knows the word historic means overpriced, really required a two-night minimum. And we knew we weren't staying two nights, thanks to Eddie, in Savannah. So we were going to go in the day of and get a room. But Eddie was lucky enough to, the week before, call ahead and find a place that would not only let us, you know, book for one night, but actually do a quick shower before we hit the road, once he explained to them what we were doing.
So I'm sorry, I don't know the geography of Georgia. So Villarica, Georgia is very far away from Savannah, so you had to travel there first?
Yes. I picked up Michael. He flew into the Atlanta airport, which is within 30 miles where I live. And then from Atlanta to Savannah, it's a little over 3 hours. It is, if you picture Atlanta more in the, just above the center of the state, Savannah is more on the lower end on the East Coast, right below Hilton Head.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea. I had no idea you were 3 hours away from the race even just to start it.
Yep.
Wow. Wowie. So any special training at all for this? You two?
That would have made sense. That would have really made a lot of sense. No, so for me, well, I mean, Eddie's a machine. He would just run a marathon to the marathon if he could. My approach was different. I had actually signed up for the Atlantic City Marathon 4 weeks before, which Eddie Rich and myself ran together with some other friends. And then in between, 2 weeks later, Eddie talked me into doing the Marine Corps Marathon with them since it's in my hometown. And then 2 weeks later, we did this. So my training really consisted of preparing for the first marathon and doing some running in between each marathon. That was about it.
Okay, so you get to the marathon, and Michael Miller, you told me that you had a strategy to finish in 4:15, 4:30. How did that work out?
Actually went out well. So our strategy was 4.5 hours. We figured if we did 4.5 hours, that would give us enough wiggle room to get on the road, drive down without breaking too many laws, and get to Orlando in time to wait for the buses to get to the race. From an approach perspective, I basically scared Eddie for 2 hours of the marathon, because I had decided I was going to run the very first two first half of that marathon very hard, because I had not run really hard in a race in a while. And to be truthful, I just wanted to see if I could do it. So for about, I don't know, Eddie, what would you say, 9 miles, you kept telling me, this is a really fast pace. Are you sure you want to be doing this? We have 40 more miles to go.
He started out quick, you know. My concern is having to drag him the last 26.2 miles. So we start out, you know, we're going to go. Yeah, he's told me 4.5 hours. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking a little between 9 and 10 minute pace. Well, the first 2 to 3 miles, he's in the low eights. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, you're just a little fast. And Believe me,
I had every split said to me saying, are you sure you want to go this fast? So yes. We did the first half. And then my thought was the second half, we would take it a lot easier. So we did the first half in just under 2 hours, I think. And then we were going to do the second half in 2.5 hours. And I had not shared how we were going to do the 4.5 hours with Eddie, but that was the plan. And then we did the second in about 2 hours. Well, we took about 2 hours and 20 minutes, but we finished about 4:19. So we went way faster than we had planned.
And if anybody knows Michael, he likes to talk a lot. And I knew he was all game when he wouldn't say hardly a thing the first half of the race. But we're having a lot of fun. I tell you what, he definitely he impressed me that he kept that kind of pace. But then the second half of the race, I was just a tad worried.
Okay, so you finished this race at, what did you say, 4:19?
I think that was about right.
4:17, 4:18, something like that.
Okay. So then you grab a banana and jump in the car and head to Orlando. What happened after that?
Well, you know, the first thing you do is you have to go to the merchandise tent and find that finisher shirt that says Savannah Marathon Finisher so that you can wear it to the wine and dine after party. That's the first thing you do. And then we booked it to the room and literally, took a quick shower and I got to watch a little bit of Auburn game for a minute, and then off to the races we went down to Disney World.
And just for the record, after the race, it's not exactly the first thing you do to go to the merchandise tent. The first thing you do is, because Eddie is a little bit of a mini celebrity in the marathoning world, is you stop with Eddie as 20 or 30 people say, hey, it's Fast Eddie McCoy. Can I get my picture taken with you? And then you'd get to take his picture with strangers on the way to the merchandise tent.
So you're his handler.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Okay, so you head in the car, you head to Orlando, and we're gonna pause you right there. But first, a big congratulations, because it's awesome doing a marathon and did it together. And let's go over to Rich right now. And Rich, you were already in Orlando with your family, right?
We were in Orlando for the week, and so while these guys were out running, I was thinking about waking up and going to the expo. Actually, I had heard that morning, I was in the Animal Kingdom Lodge where we were staying, and I got to hear the 5K from my room that morning. So that was interesting as well.
So none of us on this call did the 5K, but from all accounts, it was very, very successful. People are very happy with it. Lots of characters. And you got to hear it from Animal Kingdom. So Rich, what did you think of the expo?
I thought the expo was well run. It was a mini expo from Marathon Weekend, and I thought if I could handle those crowds, this was nothing. This was easy to work through. The booths were well spaced out, and we were able to just wander around the expo for a while, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, I expected it to be a little bit like the Tara Terra expo, but it seemed like it was just perfect. It was, like you said, it was really well spaced out. And I actually had I actually enjoyed it. Usually I'm not too crazy about the expos, but walked around. I needed some gels, and I bought some gels. And I think Michelle, you know, spent money at the expo, like she always does. She's, you know, she can't turn down a lot of things. But I really enjoyed it, Michelle.
Well, thanks. It was a little bit smaller. We decided to go later in the day. The line for some of the lines at Packet Pickup were very long, but I was one thing that really kind of upset me was I was talking to the volunteer when I was picking up my bib, and there was a bit of a wait, and she said, "Thank you so much for not being upset." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Some people have yelled at me today because of the lines." And that really bothered me, because I'm sure everybody on this call would back me up when I say the volunteers at these races are just over the top fantastic. And I'm really surprised to hear that, but she said a lot of people were very snippy with her. So Mike,
I wanted to give a question to Michael and Eddie, because you were not at the expo, and Rich, you're not eligible to answer this, but Michael and Eddie, which line do you think was the longest line at the expo? There was a line, specific line for something. And what do you think the longest line was?
I'm going to say the shoes.
Yeah. Again, with the shoes, the longest line at the expo was the shoes. Michelle?
Yeah, so I wanted to also mention that I got a new favorite item. I didn't spend a whole lot of money this time, but I got something from a company in New Hampshire called Dr. Cool. And it's it's a kind of a strip that you put into the, you wet and you put in the freezer, and it kind of wraps around any sore spot that you have. So I got one for my Achilles. I actually have it on right now, and it freezes in about 20 minutes, and you wrap it around. It's really, really great. So anyway, I'd recommend that. And we got to pop in line to see Jeff Galloway. We saw Carissa there. There's merchandise at the Milk House and also at the Joston Center. And, you know, Run Disney's just exploding with, you can get pretty much everything that you want. There's sweaty bands. There are all sorts of regular Run Disney merchandise. There's wine and dine merchandise, glasses, you know, all sorts of different things. So, Rich, did you pick up anything special or look around?
All I can tell people who are looking for less crowds is to go on Saturday, because when I went, we went in, I got the New Balance shoes with maybe a 2-minute wait, and I picked up a pair for myself and for my wife, Kathy, so it was no problems at all. And we met Joe Terracani while we were there, and I'd have to say we hung tickets, and it was just very relaxing.
Say that again, Rich. You did what?
We hung around with Joe Terracani for at least 15 minutes, and it was just so relaxing. So I didn't have any of the same issues that we have on normal marathon weekends. So this was really great.
Cool. So
I've got a question.
Oh, sure.
You were there on Saturday, and I wasn't, obviously, but the merchandise, did it sell out this time, or was there plenty of stock on Saturday left, or was it depleted like it has been at the other races?
It was kind of funny, Eddie, because I recall the Tower of Terror, Michelle, correct me if I was wrong, but it was pretty packed in there on the first day of the expo, and there were a lot of people, and and they had plenty of merchandise. This time around, I'd say there were maybe one-third as many people in the Disney merchandise. It was almost as if those people who were there for the 10-miler, I might have said 10K before, those who were there for the 10-miler were there for wine and dine, and they weren't really interested in buying any merchandise. So they didn't run out, but I didn't think there was a big run on the merchandise either.
I think they're organizing things a little differently. The merchandise area is separate from the payment area, so you can shop around and then move to kind of behind a little wall to pay for it. It didn't seem like the lines were very long. We were there on Friday afternoon, and there seemed to be plenty of merchandise. It wasn't the chaotic frenzy that was at Disneyland, and it wasn't as busy as it was in Tower of Terror. What about you, Rich, on Saturday? What did you find?
On Saturday, well, there are usually two stores, one in the packet pickup area and the other in the expo itself. On Saturday, the packet pickup store was closed, and only the store in the expo was open, and there were hardly anybody in there. So,
And plenty of merchandise?
Yeah, there was merchandise in there. I looked in. I didn't think about buying anything aside from some small medals, and we made our way out.
So the other things that I noticed too were that there was that shirt exchange area, which they had at Disneyland, and they also had Tower of Terror, and that seemed to be going, you know, really smoothly if people want to exchange their shirts. And this was officially the last time that you could change your bib, your corral placement. So I guess going forward after this race, you'll have to do it before you get to the race. Disney won't allow you to do it at the expo anymore. So a few people were doing that.
So let's take a little break from our discussion with Rich Gehring, Michael Miller, and Eddie McCoy. And we're going to take you back to the Thursday night prior to the half marathon weekend, where Mickey Miles podcast staffers Phil Vanderpool and Eve Vanderpool were lucky enough to go to the meetup, the run meetup in Epcot on that Thursday night. And they were able to capture a few interviews. And we're going to start off with Phil talking with Tammy Jacobson, who is a marketing representative for Run Disney. And then after that, you will hear Phil talking to a number of participants at the meetup. So sit back and enjoy this little interlude.
Hi, I'm here with Tammy with Run Disney Marketing. Tammy, what's it take to put on a Run Disney meetup?
Well, our meetups we plan a few months in advance. We get together and with our PR team and our content team and our social media team and just really kind of decide what content do we want to have at the meetups. So typically, you know, we've had Jeff Galloway, who you got to listen to tonight. Tara Guidas is our official nutritionist. A lot of times we'll involve some of our sponsors just to kind of share new tips and new things that are coming out that would interest all fans and the Run Disney community. And really just kind of the offerings that make it unique to each run. So, for example, for the Wine and Dine tonight, you got to hear a lot from our sommeliers and some of our chefs kind of really kind of highlighting some of the unique things about Epcot Food and Wine Festival.
And with the announcement of the meetup in Atlanta, it looks like Run Disney meetups are going on the road. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
Yes, we are doing our first out-market meetup in Atlanta. We're very excited about that. We thought we would bring our meetups on the road and do grassroots kind of community efforts. And so Atlanta is our first market, and we hope that will be very successful. And from there, we'll determine if there are other cities that we'll go to. But right now, it did fill up, so we're very excited. And again, we'll have unique content over in Atlanta, and it'll be taking place at Turner Field. So people will have an opportunity to experience the ballpark there. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Any other cities that you can tease for us tonight?
Unfortunately, I don't have any other cities. There's, you know, lots of cities are of interest to us. A lot of times, you know, we'll look to see what our top markets that we have, you know, Run Disney guests coming from. But it'll all depend on what kind of content that we have and, you know, what's the next big thing and how do we want to tie it into that city.
Anything you can tell us about January's meet?
January, not yet, too. Stay tuned. We'll see. As you know, the Walt Disney World Marathon is our biggest marathon of our Run Disney series. And so there's always new things that we're sharing and unveiling. And so stay tuned and we'll let you know if something's going to go on for that weekend.
And lastly, what makes Running Disney so great?
Run Disney, I think it's the community, the fans, everyone's so passionate. I think they bring their passion for running and their passion for Disney, and it's bringing that together. We also have people that are very much Disney fans but not into running, but get into running because of Disney. And, you know, it's a healthy lifestyle. I think people are just wanting to get out there and be fit, and what a great place to do it is in a Walt Disney World or Disneyland theme park, where you can have fun along the way while also getting fit and running.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Phil, and I'm standing here with
Meredith from New Jersey.
And Kristen from Tampa.
Very nice to meet you guys. So, is this your first run?
It is not. It's my third, actually.
This is my third Disney run, yes.
Third Disney run. What races have you run before?
Princess last year and Tower of Terror last year.
I did Princess last year and Tink this year.
Very nice. And so as far as meetups, this is not your first. This is your first nighttime though, right?
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to that over the other one?
I am, because I'm awake, so that's nice.
So what are you most looking forward to tonight?
just the chance to run, I guess, around, you know, how many people get the chance to run around, you know, Epcot, you know, at night especially. So,
so I assume you guys are both running on Saturday?
Yes.
All right. So what are you looking forward to eating most at the after party?
Oh, gosh. Wine? Is that a category?
That's an acceptable category, yeah.
Actually, the beer. I like the beer better.
The Greek food.
The Greek food. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Hi, this is Phil, and I'm standing here with
Adam Smith.
And Kristen Smith.
Andrea Howell.
Corey Goldstein.
And is this your guys' first meet?
Yeah.
Okay. What, not your first meet. Which meet did you go to?
The Princess Meetup.
Princess Meetup. That last year?
This year.
Oh, this year. Okay. Ah, so you know the formula. So you're looking forward to this being the first nighttime meet?
I am. I'm really excited about running through the parks at night. I've never done it before.
And I assume you guys are all running tomorrow? I'm sorry, Saturday. Yes, we'll edit that out. So, and so what are you looking forward to most at the finish line party?
I would have to say going and getting food because I don't drink, so I'll pass that off to somebody else.
The Dragonberry Colada, the refreshment port.
I have no idea. I've never been to Epcot, like for the Food and Wine Festival.
You're in for a treat.
Just the food.
Hi, this is Phil, and I'm standing here with
Jen Matz from Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Adrian Stazone from Staten Island, New York.
All right, great. So is this your first meet?
No, it's not. I was lucky enough to do the Princess Half Marathon meetup in February.
Oh, very nice. So you know the formula.
Yeah.
This is my first meet and my first Run Disney event.
Oh, your first event ever.
Yeah, and my first half marathon. Oh. So I am coming in with a bang.
Well, congratulations. What are you looking forward to most?
I think just meeting so many new people. Everybody that I've met has been so amazing, and I'm just so excited to be a part of this community of runners and Disney lovers. It's great.
And do you have any advice as a veteran Disney runner?
Oh, my gosh. Just have fun. Enjoy everything. You know, especially since it's your first half, don't focus on time. Just enjoy the character stops. You know, just soak up the magic. It's amazing.
And what are you looking forward to most at the finish line party?
Oh, my gosh, everything. Eating, anything that I can get in my belly. I'm pregnant, so it's going to be my first pregnant half marathon, and I'm just going to want to binge eat after.
Well, congratulations. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, eating, drinking, spending time with my friends. My two girlfriends from childhood are coming down to be here for me tomorrow night, and just celebrating being here in this moment.
Very good. Good luck on the race, and we'll see you at the meet.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Phil, and I'm standing here with
Melissa Studley from Buffalo, New York.
Hi, Melissa. So is this your first meet?
It is, yes.
What are you looking forward to most?
I think I'm looking forward to just the entire experience, honestly. I haven't experienced this before, excuse me, and I just see on Twitter how amazing it is. So,
how many Disney races have you run before?
This year? let's see. I did the Wine and Dine last year, which is why I'm back again, because it's my favorite. We did the Princess, and I did the Dumbo Double Dare, and then I'm signed up for Dopey.
Very nice. Do you have any advice for anybody who's never run a Disney race before?
I think to just enjoy the experience and really don't worry about time. It's so much fun and magical that, I mean, you'll enjoy it no matter what.
So as a veteran of the finish line party, what are you looking forward to most?
All the food. Definitely the food afterwards.
Thank you very much. Hi, I'm standing here with
Carrie Burrows from Toronto, Canada.
And is this your first meet tonight?
It's not my first meet.
Which meet did you go to before?
I was at the Princess Meet and Marathon Weekend Meet.
Of this year?
Of this year.
Very nice. So then you have a formula?
No, no formula.
Not willing to share your secret?
Luck of the draw, yeah.
And so, obviously, this is not your first Disney race. Do you have any advice for anybody who is running their first race?
First race advice would be just to enjoy every minute of it. You know, if you can take the pictures, take the pictures. Live each mile. That make sure it is magical because it is amazing. Don't stress about the run walk or what you're doing. Just actually run each mile and have a great time.
Hi, I'm standing here with
Wendy Silva from Toronto, Canada.
And Wendy, is this your first meet?
Yes, it is.
It is, and what are you looking forward to most being the first meet that you're...
I think the fact that I get to run through Disney, Animal Kingdom, is going to be just magical and phenomenal, and I really don't know what to expect. I'm just so excited.
So this is your first meet and your first meetup?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's great. What are you looking forward to most at the finish line party?
I think hanging out with all of the runners and seeing how everybody else felt about the race and comparing stories, it's going to be so much fun.
Do you have any advice for first-time trainers?
First-time trainers, go out, do your best, work your hardest, and see how it goes.
Thank you very much. Hi, I'm standing here with...
Rachel.
Where are you from, Rachel?
Tampa, Florida.
Oh, local. So is this your first meet?
No, I've been to several of these.
Several of these. What's your trick?
I have my email ready to go, so all I have to do is hit send when I see the tweet.
What advice do you have for somebody who's running their first Disney race?
Have fun. You know, it's all about, you know, the characters and the environment, and the crowd is amazing. The spectators are great. You know, the on-course entertainment you're only going to ever find at a Disney event. So just have as much fun as possible.
What is your favorite race out of all of them?
I would say that it's definitely the Wine and Dine. It was my very first half marathon 3 years ago. So I've been doing it ever since. I absolutely love it.
Me too. 3 years ago, first one, Wine and Dine. I have to agree. What are you looking forward to most at the finish line party?
Just to have fun, you know, to get to meet up with some of my friends afterwards and just enjoy the Food and Wine Festival at night. You never get to do that unless you're at the after party.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm standing here with
Lisa Samples from St. Cloud, Florida.
Hi, Lisa. And is this your first meet?
Yeah, it is. So I'm pretty excited.
What are you looking forward to most?
You know, I'm not really sure. I think it's all going to be a lot of fun. So.
And so are you running any of the races this weekend?
No, actually, I'm just here to watch. I want to do it eventually, but I wanted to psych myself up for it first.
Oh, very fun. So who are you looking forward to hear speak most tonight?
Everybody. I have no preconceived notions about what's going to happen. I'm just excited to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thank you very much.
Great, thanks.
Finally, before getting back to Rich and Michael and Eddie and Michelle and myself and what we thought of the race, we have Kimberly Markey-Torres from Connecticut with her review. She was gracious enough to call in and give us her review, so we'll listen to her, and then right after we hear her review, we will go right back to our discussion with Eddie McCoy, Michael Miller, and Rich Gehring.
Hi, Mickey Miles Podcast. This is Kimberly from Kensington, Connecticut, and I'd like to give you a review of my Wine and Dine experience. It was my first Wine and Dine experience, and it was also my first time at the Mickey's Jingle Jungle 5K, which I absolutely loved. I loved that it ran through Animal Kingdom Park. I loved all the character stops. And I love that it was all Christmas themed. It was so much fun. And I think it seemed a little bit smaller than the other races that had run this year. I think Tower of the Terror was smallest, but this was also a small event and small race. And it made the expo fun to go around because seemed to be less people. The Wine and Dine half was so much fun. I loved running to Animal Kingdom and through the Osborne Lights in Hollywood Studios. And then I also appreciated that the run from Hollywood Studios to Epcot was much shorter than the marathon. So that actually gave me, I was having some hard time, some challenges during the run. So, you know, having a shorter run from Hollywood Studios and not having to go to the Yacht and Beach Club made my night more spectacular. And I did miss the gospel choir, and it seemed like the ending was a little bit smaller, but it was an awesome experience. I love the medal, and I'm looking forward to Dopey Challenge and Marathon Weekend in, you know, few short weeks. Thank you, Mickey Miles Podcast. Keep up the great work. We love listening to you.
All right, so should we move on to the race?
Let's move on to race day. And I'm going to turn to Rich first and ask you, Rich, how did you go from your resort to the gathering area at World of Sports? Did you take a bus?
To get there from the Animal Kingdom Lodge, I actually had to take a bus to Epcot. And then I'm notoriously early for a lot of these things. So when I got to Epcot, they weren't really sure where the buses were going to line up. So they redirected us incorrectly a couple times before we finally found it near the finish line where the buses were going to take us to the Wide World of Sports. So it probably took an hour in total to get from the lodge to the lineup.
Wow. Michelle, why don't you tell everybody how
we... So we were staying at Port Orleans French Quarter, and our plan all along was to the buses were to start at 7, and we made our way out to the buses probably at about 6:40, and where we met Eve and Phil Vanderpool, who do our website. I don't think we even waited for 5 minutes. There was a bus. Everybody in line got on the bus. We went right over to World of Sports. It was not a problem at all. And it was. I'd highly recommend that people go a little bit early if they can to catch the bus, because it was not a problem. Did you think it was, Mike?
No, we actually got. I remember getting off the bus at around 7:15 and thinking, "Oh my God, I'm going to have to wait 3 hours to run this race." So that was an issue. But now let's turn to Michael and Eddie, and I know that they had a little bit of a different experience. Guys, how did you find getting to the gathering area?
Well, before we actually got to the gathering area, just a tip, if you ever do this race event and want to dine on the same day, the rental car does not come with unlimited gas, no matter what you think. And I had a...
Getty, you did pay for the gas option. Remember that, though.
You're right. I did pay for the gas option. But apparently, if you're driving and the empty light comes on and it gets below E, you may want to stop. Because we about turned our already 40 miles into some more trying to chase down gas if we hadn't got out off the interstate right when we noticed that. But anyways, we pulled in there, what, about 6 o'clock into the resorts, Michael? Is that about right?
Yes, we did. If a state trooper were to happen to ask you based on when we left, it was closer to 7. But, yes, theoretically, we got there around 6-ish.
Yes, and Michael checked in. He was staying at Pop, and I was staying at Boardwalk. So he checked in first, and then we actually both made our way to Boardwalk. And then at Boardwalk, after we got ready, it was about 7:30. We went out to the bus stops trying to catch –
Yeah, I mean, were you feeling panicked at all during this ride down that you weren't going to make it, or you just kind of you felt very confident that you're going to make it? Aside from the gas situation.
Aside from the gas, I was here fine.
Yeah, no, it actually went very, very well, and to literally to give you how dire it was with the gas, we could at the exit take a left or a right, and we chose to go the right only because it was downhill. So that's sort of how much out of gas we were. But yeah, no, it wasn't. We weren't that concerned about getting there. The worst traffic we hit was when we hit right in the Orlando area, getting close to Disney World, over by the Downtown Disney exits and stuff like that. It just got really backed up. But other than that, we made great time.
So what happened catching the bus?
Well, I think so. There's two things that happened catching the bus, and one of them is there. We were standing there, like Eddie said, we got there about 7:30-ish, and there was a bunch of buses there. And you know, we got there at the end of the line. We were at Boardwalk, and it was up near the front doors practically. And you know, about 4 buses pull out, and then the waiting started, and more waiting started, and employees started walking around, talking to people and stuff like this. And it was 30 to 40 minutes before the next batch of buses showed up.
So you're just standing during this time after having run all this way.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're more fidgeting and trying to stretch, if you can imagine, because we were tight and didn't want to do it. And we were trying to get around. And of course, no one had any answer other than, nope, the buses should be coming. The buses should be coming. But it started to get, I'll say, riot potential with all the people who had been waiting, because 4 buses showed up. And then the same drill occurred again. It was about 20 or 30 minutes before any more buses showed up. So it got to the point where we seriously thought we were at risk for not making it to the corral for the first time waiting in that bus line.
So what was your total time from stepping out into the bus line to actually getting to the holding area there?
Oh.
Almost an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes. Would that be about right?
Wow. That's amazing.
I would think so.
So what do you
think thing that would have been interesting if they would have shared information, but all they kept saying was they should be coming. They should be coming. And it got very frustrating because you felt like it would be better if they said, look, traffic's backed up. We expect 4 buses in 10 minutes, but you got nothing other than just a smile and, you know, the buses are coming.
So do you think the issue was, I guess Disney probably doesn't know how many people who are running the race are at each resort. Do you think it was an underestimation of how many people were going to be at Boardwalk Beach Club, or do you think it was not enough buses, or what is your, I mean, I know you don't probably know exactly what happened, but what do you think happened?
I would think that if it was the former, that it was they didn't understand, there would have still been a steady stream of buses or at least some regularity. To me, it just was very interesting that it was all of a sudden 4 buses after a 30-minute wait. I think there was some sort of logistical or poor planning on their part on how they ran it.
So going forward, would you do anything differently or recommend? I mean, I know that you had time constraints. Would you recommend to people that they get the bus as early as possible or take a car? What do you think?
Well, I would personally say take the buses as early as possible. Be there right when they start. And only because Wine and Dine is a unique race because the start and end point are different points. So, you know, it being that it starts at Wide World of Sports and finishes at Epcot. Now, I don't know if anybody else knows, but were they running the buses this year from Epcot?
Yeah, that's the bus that I took. I took the bus from Epcot to Wide World of Sports, and that took forever.
My advice would be regardless, I've done that before. I'd almost make sure I'm at the Epcot parking lot if I'm not staying at one of the hotels, and just make sure you're at the bus early. You're going to have to take a bus no matter what, so it's be there early.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
One interesting thing that I'd heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but some people had contemplated getting a taxi, and somebody told them matter-of-factly is taxis will not take you from the resort to the race.
I tried that, and it didn't work.
Yeah. So that's the other thing is they set it up so that that doesn't happen, which sort of is ironic because, you know, if you're nervous about making the race that you paid that much money for, I would think you'd want to let people get there however they could. But obviously they're probably trying to keep people off the roads.
Yeah, years ago when this was the Race for the Taste, you had an option of either driving to World of Sports or driving to Epcot. And I always opted to drive to Epcot, take the bus to the start, and then when I finished, my car would be right there. But that was when it was only maybe 250 or maybe 400 runners. Now it was 14,800 the other night. It's something close to that. So they want you to use their wonderful transportation. But like you guys said, especially you, Eddie, I think it's important for everybody to try and get on that very first bus. And that means not getting out there at 7, but getting out there maybe 20 minutes ahead of time. And the only, you know, I mean, that gets you to the start early. That means you're going to be sitting around or standing around for a long time, but at least you'll be there. So I think that's a good idea. And when you're going, if you need to get to Epcot to take the bus, then you want to be at Epcot well before that first bus takes off. So we want to make sure that everyone knows that. Rich, I'd like you to mention. Remember when I went over to check my bag, and you caught me, and you said, "Hey, make sure of something." Would you like to tell everybody what they're asking us to do now when we check our bags?
Well, there were a couple of things. I had put all my gear in a bag, and I checked it. And as I was checking it, the bag ripped in a couple of places, and I had to rebag it and then tape it because it was just coming apart. So they're pretty careful with that. But also, they were making sure that the drawstrings on the bags were tied around the bag pretty securely. And I'm not sure if that was because they were concerned about them catching or becoming untied, but there was a lot of focus on security of the bags in the bins that they were saving.
I saw something that was a little bit different was when we got off the buses that there was a bag check just to get into the holding area, which I've never seen before. And, Rich, I noticed a lot of people having a problem with the bag splitting open too, not just you. And also there was a canine unit walking around with at least one dog just in the holding area. And I was talking to somebody, a friend, who was saying it kind of freaked them out. But I think it's, you know, it's just all because of safety. They want everybody to be safe because of what happened in Boston.
Yeah, it's the new world of running.
Yep,
that's true. And having said that, I know that for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10 mile, my bag split, or Michelle's bag split, one of our bags split, and so I'm suggesting to everybody that between now and January, if you happen to be anywhere that is selling very clear plastic, like drawstring gym bags or whatever, I would suggest.
I don't think they would take it. I don't think they would.
You don't think that? As long as it's clear?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's a specific Run Disney bag are the only ones they're taking now, Mike.
I think so. Oh, well. Yep.
Well, let me say something that it says it's against the rule, but I've seen it happen multiple times, and I used it the same thing. I put a backpack. I literally put everything in my backpack and then put a backpack in the clear bag, and I just checked the backpack.
Well, that's what I did, Eddie, but putting the backpack in that bag caused it to rip, so that was the other problem we were having.
You know what's sort of funny, Rich, is when we got there late, obviously we got there late, and we ran over, they did not give Anna, when she picked up my bid, the little sticker for the outside of the bag. And when we went running over to give it to the people, Eddie had his bag, which was packed with the backpack, and I had my bag, which was about half full. And I tried to get them to take it, and I said, no, you have to go a whole way over there to get a thing. So Eddie's explained to them that we weren't running anywhere because we had run a marathon earlier today, and the women took pity on us. And I jammed my bag into Eddie's bag, that so much so that they barely could tie it, and it didn't rip. So I'm amazed that you had that problem, because literally I would have thought if the bag would have ripped, it was with how full we jammed his bag when we put it in there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to opt for driving whenever I can from now on, just because of that and a few other things with the buses. And I think I have less control when I leave it up to Mickey. So
should we talk about the race now?
Let's talk about the race. Let's talk about the corrals. Who would like to start?
Well, Michelle, all I can ladies, say,
go ahead, some way.
all I can say about the corrals was I decided to head to the restroom about 45 minutes before the race. Then I made it to the corral maybe 5 minutes to go. So restrooms were not the easiest to work through this time. That's what I could say from my perspective.
I had a similar experience. I think I waited 30 minutes in the line for the restrooms. Got to meet some very fun people, one of whom listened to the podcast, but it took a long, long, long time. So there were restrooms outside in the holding area, and then there was another area just for runners. And there were more restrooms there, but those huge, huge lines. And it didn't seem to be like there were a lack of restrooms to me, but I don't know. So they did this thing again where they had more corrals and the start times were sooner. What does everybody think about that? I personally like that approach better.
I thought it was well run. I mean, with the fact of a couple things, and now I didn't do Tower of Terror, but I've done the old 13K when they had it, it didn't seem too packed in there. They did near the start, they did put a lot of people in, but it seemed very well organized, very well controlled. It wasn't like marathon where people were trying to crawl over fences and everything to get into the corrals. Everyone seemed to be able to get into them in an orderly fashion, and then there wasn't that much time between the starts, which was good. And they had fireworks for every start, which I also think was good, because some people were questioning whether or not after the first corral went, at least around us, whether or not there would be any sort of fanfare or fireworks for the next corrals.
Yeah, if you remember the 13K, Mike, and I've done that too. There was a 13K and there was a 6.5K or whatever it was. And not only were there no corrals, I believe everybody was released at the same time. And we're talking both the shorter race and the longer race. And I thought that was probably a very loose way of doing it. And I just didn't agree with it. So I prefer doing this timed release of the corrals. I think it's much better. I think it's easier on everyone. I think it spreads out the field. It's still very crowded, but I think it really is the only way to go.
Now, I do think one thing that we did with our group, which I don't know when we're going to bring it up, which may have helped Rich get back to us, but who's going to talk about the glow stick of destiny?
Well, I think that's a good transition. So I was going to ask Eddie if he would describe what we decided to do with our group and why we decided to do it.
You know, Disney Race is all about having fun and being with friends. And what we decided to do is there were several of us already that were going to run with one another in here. And instead of all running as little separate small groups, we decided to combine and make it one big group. And I believe we started out with 14 in our group, and we ended up running the whole race and finishing with 12. Only two of them dropped back and finished a little bit behind us. But we decided to make it one really big party along the course. And to be honest with you, it was a lot of fun, and it was a unique way to do it. And I tell you what, the glow stick of destiny was a big help. And keeping everybody somewhat organized, and
so why don't we let Rich talk about what Rich, that yeah. what that was? Because I was happy and proud to be with that group too of 12 people. It was an amazing experience. Rich, you are a leader. Tell us what that was.
Well, I was lucky enough to have a Garmin that was working with run walk intervals. So every time it would go off, I would wave the lightsaber stick of destiny, and I would either tell us to run or walk or whatever we were doing. And it was much easier from a crowd perspective because everybody knew where we were. And I got the impression that people knew, okay, these are the intervals. So it was helping just keeping things a little bit organized with the team.
Yeah, it was kind of serendipitous. Our friend Stan Harris actually found this glow stick, this kind of staff with Mickey Mouse on top. And
it is the sword that you see at every one of the parks for the night shows.
Yeah.
With the Mickey handle on it, and it lights up.
And Rich devised a very great way. We were doing one-ones, and Rich, why don't you tell everybody how we knew when it was time to run and time to walk?
Oh, aside from all the Garmin's going, all the run-walk, it was my Garmin's really good, and so I was giving countdowns, so we would have a pretty good understanding of when we would be able to run or walk again. So I thought it worked really well. I thought the one-ones worked well as a team. So,
and what did you do with the stick?
I would either hold it vertically or horizontally, depending if we were running or walking. So,
yeah, it worked well.
Give you an imagination, imagine Braveheart and Mel Gibson holding that sword up as he's about to go to battle. Well, that was kind of the way I envisioned Rich with the glow stick, and he would point it forward when it was time to run.
And he became known as the people were running by saying, "Man with the stick." There's the man. Yeah. The people were asking, "What are your intervals, man with the stick?"
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we were asked if we were a pace group. We were asked if we were other things. But I think from the biggest point, and Rich is downplaying his role in this. You know, I called Rich the bus driver for the event. I mean, we followed Rich religiously, and what he would do is when it would cut time to walk, he would throw his arm up. And when you have 12 people who all of a sudden go to stop and walk in a race, you can get a lot of complaints. I heard none because there was nobody around us who didn't know what we were doing because they could see Rich. Rich would throw his hand up. We would walk for a minute. He'd bring it down and we'd start running. And I think that added a benefit and was sort of, I'll say, good for the people around us because they knew what we were doing. But then the flip side is 12 people can get very much spread out in a night race, and it's very hard to find some of the people. And we always knew where our group was centered because we could always get back to Rich.
And we stopped for bathrooms. We stopped for picture taking. We even stopped during Osborne Lights to sing a Christmas carol, didn't we, Eddie?
Yes, we did.
And it was really the first time. I've run with one or two other people. Rich and I did a half marathon together with another buddy of ours, Charlie Gessner. But I've never run with so many people, and I don't think I've ever had so much fun. It was just really comforting and just a blast. There was so many jokes, so much laughter, and it was just wonderful. And Eddie actually captured it very, very well. He made a video of it, which he put on our Mickey Miles podcast website. But I would do it again in a heartbeat. Now, Mike, you decided to go off on your own, and so there's huge benefits in running together, but you know, also sometimes people want to run alone. And why did you decide to do your own thing?
Well, I wasn't sure what I was going to do for a pace. I was thinking of trying to do a PR, and I remember talking with Eddie, and Eddie said, "What are you going to do, Mike?" I don't know. And I wanted to start off kind of fast, and then I realized it's her Disney race, and next thing I know, people are stopping when I want to run and whatever. So I try to catch up to you guys, and I don't know, I just got separated, and besides, I didn't want anybody else to get hurt like I got hurt, but I'm fine. The thing that I wanted to ask everybody is what they thought of the course, and how they would compare it. Now, Michael, you weren't there for the Tower Race, but Eddie and Rich. Rich, were you there for the Tower Race?
I was not either. Nope.
Okay, so Michelle and Eddie, I just want your opinion. I have my own opinion. Which course did you prefer? Which course had the better entertainment and just overall theming, do you think?
Well, from my perspective, the course I enjoy the most is the Wine and Dine because it's going through the three parks, going through the Animal Kingdom and then making our way back through the studios and then finishing through Epcot. But to be honest with you, the Tower of Terror this year had way more entertainment on the course than it did at than I thought Wine and Dine. I mean, we were the big group, but I was looking. I mean, it just – there they had the characters out there, but none of the – I just thought Tower of Terror – I think people demanded it at Tower of Terror, and that is why we got it. And I think everybody else, for Wine and Dine has always been kind of a fan favorite already. So I really don't think they from last year, I think it was no upgrade. I think it was the same. It was basically the same course. That's
Eddie,
what I think.
I agree 100%. I think that was a fantastic assessment. I think that I wasn't expecting much for Tower of Terror. The entertainment, just that ball of fire thing just blew me away, and the lasers. I really enjoyed, I think, overall the Wine and Dine more, but it was mostly running with you guys. It was just so much fun. And running in the three parks is great. Running through Animal Kingdom with those tusks and, running through Osborne Lights. You can't get any better than that, just running through Osborne Lights. But, I agree. I think the entertainment on Tower of Terror was much better.
And the reason
go ahead, Michael. I didn't do Tower of Terror, but I will say one of the things after I was done, I enjoyed the course. I thought the course was very, very well laid out. I loved running through Osborne Lights, and the little disco ball thing that they had in the studios was interesting.
In the costuming area.
Yeah. That was great, and the lasers at the end. But one of the things afterwards, it wasn't until I left that I realized I got more entertainment from the group than I did anything else. I did not feel like any other Disney race, and having done night races before, albeit a while ago, and all the marathon and stuff, I guess, I agree. There wasn't a lot of entertainment out there for this. So if you were in a smaller group and you were looking for something like that, you weren't going to get it.
I agree. I was looking for characters on the course, and they just were not out there. So I was sort of disappointed in that. I did appreciate the puppets that they had out there, but I wish
the puppets from the 20 miles at the marathon.
Yeah.
Yep. The 20 mile spectacular is 10 times better at night than it is at the 20 mile mark of the marathon. By the way.
The reason why I pose that question is that I'm sure that there are listeners out there who cannot do both night races, and they may be making decisions right now as to which one to run next year. So I wanted everyone's take, and let me just add my two cents. I think that the Tower of Terror theming is better. I think that doesn't necessarily mean it's a better race, but if you're really into Halloween, if you're really into that kind of theming, and I do believe they had more characters, it seemed like they had more characters and more entertainment, I would say go for that one. I think that Wine and Dine offers, again, the three parks. It offers a better after-race party as well. So, pick your poison, I guess, Michelle.
I think two other things to consider, too, is that for Tower of Terror, it was much warmer. I thought the temperature for Wine and Dine was much more comfortable. And Mike was injured at the end, and to get into the party for Wine and Dine, you had to go through Future World to World Showcase, and because Mike had hurt his foot, you had to walk a lot further to get to that party than you would for Tower of Terror. So there are lots of pros and cons. Mike, do you want to tell everybody about your little injury?
I should practice what I preach, but I was really concerned about, I wanted to keep up a certain pace, and I decided that somewhere around midway through the race, I was going to pick it up a little bit. But, as everyone may have noticed, as you get, especially for these night races, as you get towards the end of the race, there aren't many progressive runners, and there are more people walking towards the end of these races than at the beginning. And I'm sort of the opposite. So I tried to zigzag around someone, and in many cases when a street gets hard-topped or there's a little extra pavement, there's always like a little lip, and I just happened to land halfway off that lip, and I almost hit my ankle, but I kind of rolled my foot a little bit, and it was about right at the 8 mile mark, and I thought, here we go again. And but I kept on running, and I said to Michelle, I said, I'm fine, and after I finished the race, we're walking around, and then we sat down for some reason. And then when I then after I sat down, that was probably my worst mistake, was to sit down. I said to her, I think there's something going on, and I just learned again. I have to be patient, and everybody should be patient, especially the night races when you really can't see. And it's just another example of what you should not do, and that is zigzag around people. You just be very patient, and it says. It also says to what Eddie mentioned earlier, and that is Disney races are for fun. You should not think about them as a venue for trying to get a PR. I know my PR for a half is not in a Disney race, and neither is for Michelle. And I would gather to say that the three of you guys have PRs in non-run Disney events. And it just says, you know, enjoy the race, and, you know, and that's what counts. Now let's talk about the after party.
Yeah, you go there, I just want to give you a different perspective, because mm-hmm. I ran Wine and Dine very hard last year. And just to give you my vantage point on what we did this year versus last year. Last year, I was in the front, and I ran it very hard. And I finished like in an hour and 31, which was, I think, top 50 at the time. But I had so much more fun running in a group having fun than running a Disney race hard. I mean, the time is great. PRs are great if you could do it. But the fact is, there is so much to be said about slowing down, enjoying the company of your friends, and being in a Disney race and just taking the race for what it is instead of running it hard. I wouldn't trade, you know, even if I could PR, there's no way I'd go for a Disney race. I've decided that I will not run any more Disney races hard. There's too much fun to be had. Spending it with friends and enjoying, I mean, the memories you have out on that course trump any time, which will be forgotten in about 2 to 3 years.
Well, you also got to think, Eddie, how much money you're paying, and you want to enjoy it. And if you run it fast, then that time goes by too quickly, too.
Yeah. You know? No, and I do think that the interesting thing, and you know, to echo what Eddie said, is I've run harder. I used to, up until, you know, joining, you know, the running team I did last year, I've run all my Disney races alone, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it more running with folks. And with 12 people, even with 12 people, it was sort of amazing. I got to run with almost all 12 people at different points and times in the race. So I talked to people I wouldn't normally talk with, you know, on a race or all that kind of stuff, and spent time running with you. And it is different when you run with somebody than just having a conversation, because, you know, you talk about different things and you do it, and, you know, you're getting this shared experience. And I have, you know, Eddie took a lot of pictures and stuff. Some of my favorite races pictures are of the group. And, you know, there was one of us in the Osborne Lights that there's two aspects of this. It's Eddie, Rich, and I sitting on a bench, you know, in the Osborne Lights, wearing what are our ugly Christmas sweater technical shirts. And somebody took a picture, and we have these funny poses. You know, we're trying to look profound, if you will. But then there's a picture from Eddie's GoPro camera of all of the people standing there while they were taking the picture. I love those both pictures together, because it sort of tells me a story. One side, we were goofing around, but the other side, everybody in that group was taking a picture of us and or laughing or doing something. You'd see we were just having fun.
Well said, Mike. Well said. Very nicely said. It was very special, and I hope to do it again with you guys at Dopey. We'll see.
Absolutely.
I'm putting in my reservation right now.
It'll happen. It'll be one big group, one big party, so when you see Rich with a sword, everybody just jump in and fall along and have fun.
You know, one more thing to say about that, and I was proud of the team to what they did that night. I was very, very proud, and I tell all my friends and all my colleagues at work what happened, and I think that one of the nice things about what happened is that it shows support for one another. And I think coming in January, if something like that can be done again, I think it keeps everybody in check, because we've talked very seriously about what's going to happen in January. And if everybody's watching out for each other, then nothing but success will come to everybody. So I just wanted to say that. Michelle, anybody?
I agree with you, Mike. I think you just have to be careful of respecting the course and the people that are not running with you, but running alongside of you. And we found a couple of times where people would just barrel through us. And, you know, you just have to be careful. You know, the team was always running on the left-hand side of the road. we were very clear in what we were doing, but you know, you also have to be careful and make sure you're not getting in other people's way as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. We were very purposeful not to be like 12 across. We were in, yes, you know, two or threes and all that kind of stuff, and we would spread out. But I do think at times being 12, I'm sure we annoyed some people around us. But I was actually more, I actually think more people, to Rich's point, you know, there was people who would just charge through us, not because we were a group, but just they were just charging through, and they would have charged through anybody.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I did see a Pace group in Animal Kingdom, and I don't think they were a Galloway group. I think they were maybe Cliff Bar or whatever. And there were about 15 or 16 of them, and I'm thinking, you know, there are certain areas, and you all know, we all ran the course, that there are some narrow areas, and it just does not bode well to have a Pace group like that. So going through the rest would have been better.
Mike, that's a good point, because one thing that I think the glow stick helped with, the glow stick destiny, is we spread out in Animal Kingdom. We spread out in Animal Kingdom. So when we got to Animal Kingdom, it was too narrow for us to stay in a group. So what happened was we got some people who got, I'll say, further behind and some further front. And what we did is some of us would run back and forth, and we said when we get out of the park and it opens up, the people in the front got over the left and walked until all of the people in the back caught up to us, because we did not want to be that group of 12 that, you know, no one could get by in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, we definitely spread out like that. And that's the way if it's a group like that, that's the way you have to do it. But like I said, when you have us going back and forth and communicating like that, it works out very well.
Well said, everyone. And I think that's about all we really want to say about Wine and Dine as we close the book on November and the 2013 Ron Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon.
One last thing.
One last thing.
The after party. I just wanted to tell you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I know you're trying to close it
up.
But the after party of all the Disney parties, to me, it is the number one after party. So having the food and wine kiosk open. But I thought it was more crowded this year than last year. But I don't know what y'all thought.
The most crowded was the inaugural. Were you there for the inaugural, Eddie?
No, I was not. And I've heard about the nightmare stories on that one.
That was pretty bad. But I think they figured it out. And I think having the entire park available really helped. And I agree with you. I think it's a much better after party than the Tower of Terror. So that's another thing that Wine and Dine has going for it ahead of Tower of Terror. I'm glad you brought that up.
I do think, though, in light of that, though, I will say this. I was extremely annoyed that we had to leave the runner area, go out into the parking lot, and then go through a bag check again to go back into the park.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that there should have been two exits, one for those people who were leaving and one that would have taken runners right into the park closer to World Showcase, so they wouldn't have to walk around the front and walk through everything. It just didn't seem like a good logistical move on their part.
Yeah. Well, the very first inaugural – The inaugural Wine and Dine had us. It was a real issue because we finished at the International Gateway and bag check was at the Millennium Village. And Michelle will tell you that was quite a horror story. So
I will tell you that.
And she
will. It was quite a horror story.
It was quite a
That's
horror story.
That's for another
story.
Show.
So as I was saying about 2 minutes ago, I want to thank Michael, and I want to thank Eddie, and I want to thank Rich, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you guys in months to come, and as we approach January, and I want to thank you guys for making my weekend really memorable and fun, and I want to thank you for coming on the show, and we're going to close the book on the 2013 Run Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon, and look forward to a very interesting January. So for Rich Gehring, Michael Miller, Eddie McCoy, Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'd say right about now, people are starting to think about those spring vacation trips. And those who are really smart are going to the folks at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel to help them make those dreams come true. So do you have a dream and you don't know where to start? Well, why not start by visiting the professionals at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel and let them help you make those dreams come true? Visit them at mei-travel.com
mousefantravel.com or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.